did today?
Fine, Arthur.
I enjoyed that dinner last night no end.
Well, thank you.
I thought it was very well run. I thought the spirit was excellent. And I think you've really done something over and beyond the present problems, which one of these days will lift, the cloud will lift. I thought what you've been doing to get these fellas together and to hear what has been going on and having an exchange of views is just right, just right.
Well, thank you. Eisenhower called me, said you had a great visit, and that he was wrong and you were right, that he wanted to know that he thought what you were doing was all right, and he wanted me to know it, and if I read in the paper what he'd said, that he got further information from you, so he must have a successful trip.
Well, I thought it was. I wanted to tell you a little bit about it, and if you don't mind, I will kind of keep in touch with him.
I think you ought to do it regularly. I think I'd I'd get my helicopter and go up there every month, anyway.
He indicated a great interest, and he was very pleased that I did it, and I told him I had talked to you, and it was your desire to keep him fully informed.
I'd have him up to dinner and have three or four of his cronies up there and a few of his rich people, and then I'd have 10 of the leading nations that I thought he'd like, their ambassadors.
Well, I want to tell you what I told him, and that's one of the reasons I called. I said, "What's your son John doing?" And he said, "Well, he's got, you know, this little thing." I said, "Why doesn't he come up and work for me?" And his eyes perked up. And he said, "Are you serious?" And I said, "Sure, I'm very serious. This is a bipartisan affair. You think he'd be interested? If he's interested, you send him down to talk to me. Find him something to do that he would like to do."
I think it's wonderful.
Well,
he
just took that, you know.
It's a masterstroke. It's
a big swallow. And I said, "Now, Mr. President, I'm very serious about it. I'm not, the president has told me that he doesn't care about the politics of anybody. He's got two Republicans in the cabinet. As far as he's concerned, he's got five, if he could find people who would serve the country. And my attitude about the UN is exactly the same. Your son has got a deep conviction that this is an agency that you supported, that every president has supported, President Johnson supports. There'll be no conditions. All I'd ask is the same thing you would ask of any man who works, that he pitch in and work. And we work for the same objective, which is President Johnson. Objective, your objective, to maintain an honorable peace, not be pushed around, but to have a peaceful world." He said, "John is going to be down there tomorrow." I said, "All right, if you would be good enough to talk to John, and if John has the slightest interest, I'm available in Washington and New York, and I'd be very glad to talk to
him." Yeah, that's wonderful.
He was in a good frame of mind.
Well, I hope Bill got somebody to ask him about the statement. He was left my meeting. You busted up my budget meeting. You know what he's down? He just got in there and you called, and he's been off ever since. And I never did come back. I guess
I
went home. But
what we got is a statement prepared and being called down to General Schultz.
Yeah.
And General Schultz is going to show it to him. It's too late tonight. But the first thing in the morning, the thing I don't want him to do is talk to those 300 Republicans he's going to talk to tomorrow and have them dissuade him. So I urge that Schultz to get out the first thing in the morning before he meets with his colleagues. I didn't have a chance to talk to you last night. I make 2 points. I know you're busy and you haven't had your dinner yet. I spoke to about 100 members of the House yesterday. And, you know, that Democratic study group.
Yeah, Dean told me.
Yeah, they're in fine shape, and they're good. And I have now stirred, I got the call from Joe Califano, and from Jack, and from Jake. And we'll stir them up for some speech making tomorrow. And I'm sure they'll do it. They're all for us. They'll support us. Now, I had lunch with Mansfield and Aiken today.
Good.
And they're fine. And I took them a little bit into our confidence, and I told them about the letter you had sent to the Secretary General welcoming his initiative. And they were very pleased about that.
Good.
And,
that's good.
So I'll follow this practice.
I just sure would. I think that's
good advice.
I'd stay with Dirksen, too.
Oh, I called Everett and told him I want a Republican from him. And we may have half the damn mission filled with Republicans.
It's all right, I don't care. You said that two Herbert's loyal to you and loyal to me and loyal to the objectives of what we're going after.
I called Everett and I told him that we would like to find a good person and he would ask me to be in touch with him and we'd welcome his suggestions. He's serious, it wasn't just a pro forma call. And I'd be waiting to hear from you. Now, next week, Mr. President, I'd like to announce some of these appointments that we've lined up.
That's good.
If it's all right with you.
Yeah.
And if, who shall I check with?
Bill Morgan.
Bill? Mm-hmm. And I'd like to bring him in to the Rose Garden.
That's right.
Jimmy Roosevelt's all set. Jeannie Anderson is all set. We have Bill Atwood coming back from Kenya to meet with me this weekend. I hope to have some Republican that'll come through at one. If John Eisenhower is the one, we'll announce John Eisenhower. And I'm thinking in terms of, if your time schedule permits, setting it up sometime Tuesday.
Yeah, it's all right.
Is that all right with you?
Yeah.
Fine.
Cleared with Marvin Watson. And
okay.
Just said he knows, but that's excellent. And
and we'll be ready to go. Now, you'd be interested in the reaction down in New York. It's been very good. Our allies feel pretty good about it. They think we've done the right thing. They think we've been magnanimous. A big nation can afford to be magnanimous. I told the Russians pretty bluntly that now it's their turn to be magnanimous. I'm going to put some money in this kitty. They reacted pretty well. Whether they'll do it or not remains to be seen. There's a telegram that maybe one of your fellows can call your attention by one of their missions, saying that they thought that this gesture would help very much in a lot of areas. In a lot of areas. They construe it to be a gesture on your part, a desire to clear the clouds, and they feel good about it. Well, we'll see whether that is so in other areas.
I don't know whether you want to or not, but if we got the Congress out of here, you could take my plane. I believe it'll hold 50 people, and you could bring 50 down one night and 50 down the next, and we could have them to dinner and have a deal kind of like we did last night. We might talk about space or health or education or something, and have a bunch of interpreters around and have a dining room set up where they could understand it. Just have Secretary of State and have you and maybe have some of the leading members of the cabinet and let them all feel that they knew the government, they saw the White House, and take them through a diplomatic reception room, Lincoln room maybe.
I'd like to do that very much.
I think you could. We could have them all at one dinner. It might be too big, but we can seat 125.
Well, I'd like to do that. And there's another thing Dorothy has been talking to me about. She'll talk to Lady Bird about it. The lady delegates have never been brought down to meet the First Lady.
Well, that's been good. Lady Bird loved that. She loved it.
And perhaps Dorothy could bring down all the ladies and meet with her. We'd bring down the men, meet with you. I think they would all appreciate that very much. We could do that. The General Assembly opens about September 20th. If Congress, Mike says he's going to get them out of your hair about September the 10th. I don't know whether he's optimistic.
I got the damnedest thing you ever heard of. I've got a budget that's going to run the deficit 10 or 15 billion and it's going to go from 99 to 116.70.
Really?
All this stuff we passed.
Just all the new legislation?
Well, the Vietnam thing is just going to knock the living hell out of me. It's going to be up 5, 6, 7 billion. And that's why we got to have peace between now and January.
Well, let's get to, you know, I have an old philosophy. I have learned in my experience. Let's get the people to the table. Nobody's going to out-trade us. All these people who worry that we're going to let our pants down, they just don't know the people they're dealing with. I have any lack of confidence that we're going to, we'll protect our own.
No, worried about a bit if you just get them to talk to you.
Yeah. Once we get them to the table, you see, that will de-escalate this whole business. When people are talking to each other, they're not going to engage in a lot of provocative action. And I place a pretty high premium on what this the Secretary General's initiative. He's a Burmese, and he doesn't move unless he's had some indication. And maybe the plastering that they have been taking in Hanoi has caused them to take another look. And I don't believe he would have given us the letter he gave us the other day if he didn't have some pretty clear indication that an initiative on his part at the present time would not be robust. Now, his letter has been around for about 4 or 5 days now. And there isn't a peep out of China. There isn't a peep out of Hanoi. And that indicates to me that there is some very sober thinking going on in this area. Otherwise...
We're killing them like flies out there, too.
Well, I gather from the reports we have that it's really beginning to hurt.
Killed 1,400 last week, lost 200. And today it looks like they wiped out a bunch of them.
Did you get a report on the Pakistani business from Mitt Bundy?
Yeah, I got it, but I didn't read it. I saw that this where they...
Here's what he says. Now, this fella came back, you know, after I conveyed your message. Saying you better come over and stop piping down. And the Pakistani ambassador at the UN, who's a pretty good friend of ours, he used to be in Washington, knows you, and he's a pretty reliable fellow. He comes in and he says, got a message from his government, they appreciate what you said. And then he says, which I think is quite significant, maybe I'm ignorant on these diplomatic matters, but he says that they want to maintain their traditional policies vis-a-vis us, which is, I had mentioned what those policies were. You know, I said CETO, our alliances, and so on. And he says he wants to maintain them, not break them off. And then he says that we think it would be helpful if you'd come over and talk to IU, following which they would send an envoy. And I said, look, like the president, I'd go anywhere to help along. We have a lot of problems down here. He said, well, George Woods maybe could come if you can't come. George,
you tell him we're not going to send anybody to give him a bunch of money. If he don't want to come ask for it, screw it.
Yeah. Now
that's what I tell him.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing is that I agree on that. I don't, first of all, I'm too goddamn busy to go around the world. But I think we are reaching to the point now where he wants to do something.
Well, just tell him Shastri's getting ready to come on up here.
Is he?
And we're going to talk to him as soon as this bell. And he indicated, he told us when we canceled the first engagement, he said he graciously agreed to the postponement. And we would meet as soon as the bell passed. Now, if he wants to come talk about it, if he don't, I'm just going to take this money and I'm going to put in the school program. I'm not going to mess with him. I'm not going to run out there or send anybody out there to suck up to him to give him $300 million. I don't know a reason in the world ought to. I'm against them. I'm against financing them to fight each other anyway. I think it'd be better if we didn't give either one of them a dime. But I'm not going to.
Yeah.
If Shastri comes up here, makes the case, I'm going to sit and listen to him and give him what I think our national interest indicates and what morality requires. Then, if I didn't come, I'm not going to give him a damn dime.
I think...
they just got to learn that we're just not going to... This business of Galbraith and Bold and all this group are just representing them all the time. Those days are gone and forgotten. The bridge of the railroad now crosses the spot. The old diving logs lay sunk and forgotten. And it's another day. And if India wants to come in here, meet us at the table. We're not going to try to master them. We're not going to tell them what they got to do. We're just going to say we want to help you, and here's what we think we can do.